We must end inequity by ensuring 70% of the population of every country is vaccinated by the middle of next year.
A call for vaccine equity from the World Health Organization. It's Wednesday, December 22nd, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. You'll also find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, reintroducing COVID restrictions in Australia, a mass firing in a major U.S. school district, fighting COVID in North Korea, scuba diving at campgrounds, and eco-friendly denim. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The World Health Organization warns the COVID-19 pandemic will not end until the unequal distribution of life-saving vaccines between rich and poor countries ends. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
In an assessment of the year gone by, WHO Chief Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus says the world is still in the grips of a pandemic that shows no sign of going away. He notes more than 3.3 million people have lost their lives to COVID-19 in 2021. That, he says, is more deaths than from HIV/AIDS, malaria, and tuberculosis combined. He says the odds of this turning around anytime soon are not good. He says there is consistent evidence the new Omicron variant of the coronavirus is spreading significantly faster than the Delta variant. He says it is likely that people who are vaccinated or have recovered from COVID-19 could be infected or reinfected.
None of us want to be here again in 12 months' time, talking about missed opportunities, continued inequity, or new variants. If we are to end the pandemic in the coming year, we must end inequity by ensuring 70% of the population of every country is vaccinated by the middle of next year.
Statistics show at least half of the world's population has received a COVID-19 shot, and the other half has not. People in rich countries have received about 50 times as many vaccine doses as those in the poorer countries. For example, WHO reports just over 10% of people in Africa have received at least one dose of COVID-19 vaccine, compared with 64% in North America and 62% in Europe. Studies show booster shots are effective against the Omicron variant of the virus that causes COVID-19. WHO, however, says boosters should be given to the elderly and people who are immunocompromised and not to those at low risk, such as children. A senior advisor to the Director General, Bruce Aylward, refutes accusations that WHO is against boosters.
What WHO has said very clearly is that we want to make sure that every dose of vaccine used has the best possible impact to get us out of this pandemic. And what we're seeking is equity in the use of vaccines globally. The biggest bang for your buck is vaccinating someone at risk who has not received a dose of the vaccine.
Aylward notes most people who are hospitalized are unvaccinated. He says the goal right now is to make sure everyone gets the first dose before people at low risk get their booster shots. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. China imposes sanctions on U.S. officials over Xinjiang. More than a dozen people dead, 70,000 displaced in Malaysian floods. New law to safeguard Australian Aboriginal sacred sites. Chinese tennis star denies social media post accusing ex-official of sexual assault. Protests erupt in Afghanistan over U.S. freezing of funds. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. The Malaysian military used boats Tuesday to distribute food to desperate people trapped in their homes after massive floods. More than 21,000 people have been displaced by days of torrential rain, which triggered the worst flooding in years. Volunteer Mohammed Adib Haris Fadzila.
I was actually disappointed of the government because it is so slow, and I know there's a lot of people doing their work and all the bombers coming down and everything, but it's slow, and all this is because of the politics.
The region around the capital, Kuala Lumpur, is one of the worst hit areas. Fallout from the most powerful typhoon to hit the Philippine archipelago this year is still being felt. The storm left at least 375 people dead and 50 others missing. The Philippines has not yet appealed for international help, but Japan said it was sending power generators, camping tents, sleeping pads, water containers, and tarp roofing sheets to hard-hit regions. China announced it was providing 20,000 food packs and rice. About 20 tropical storms and typhoons annually batter the Philippines, which lies along the seismically active Pacific Ring of Fire region, where earthquakes and volcanic eruptions frequently occur. Australia's most populous state is being urged to reintroduce COVID-19 restrictions after seeing a record number of new infections. VOA's Phil Mercer reports from Sydney.
New South Wales is relaxing mask and social distancing rules at the same time as coronavirus infections are hitting record numbers. On Monday, Australia's most populous state recorded 2,500 new cases over a 24-hour period. Health officials believe the Omicron variant likely accounts for the majority of those infections. Hospital admissions increased by more than 15% in the same period. Of the 33 people in the state's intensive care units, 26 are unvaccinated, according to the health department. After a week in which the number of cases rose, Australia's political leaders are urging calm and are promising that widespread lockdowns, which have been a feature of the pandemic, won't be reimposed over the holiday season. New South Wales Premier Dominic Perrottet says his government is taking a sensible approach.
Every day we look at the numbers that are in front of us, the hospitalisations in the ICU presentations, and we'll continue to take a balanced, proportionate and measured response.
The Australian Medical Association said the decision to ease long-standing disease control measures was bizarre timing. Nancy Baxter, a clinical epidemiologist and head of the Melbourne School of Population and Global Health at the University of Melbourne, believes it's too early to relax restrictions.
Basically, we have a big gamble on this being an incredibly mild variant of COVID, because even if it's a bit milder, it's more transmissible and it transmits amongst the vaccinated. So even if it's a bit milder, this is going to be a huge problem for our hospitals and healthcare systems. When you look at New South Wales, they continued with the relaxation they had planned before, basically ignoring the fact that the rules of the game had changed.
Nationally, 90% of eligible Australians are fully vaccinated, according to the health department, and the authorities are urging the community to get a third booster. Australia has 250,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus since the start of the pandemic. About 2,100 people have died. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Thailand has decided to immediately reimpose a mandatory quarantine for visitors and to suspend a test-and-go scheme for fully vaccinated arrivals as concerns grow over the spread of Omicron. The decision is a blow to efforts to revive Thailand's battered tourism sector ahead of the peak holiday season. A government spokesperson also announced the suspension of, quote, sandbox programs that allow visitors to remain and move around specific locations, except for the resort island of Phuket, where he said it will stay in effect. Japan hanged three death row inmates Tuesday, its first executions in 2 years, amid growing criticism by human rights groups of the country's use of the death penalty. One of the three, Yasutaka Fujishiro, was convicted of killing seven people and setting fire to their house in 2004, while the other two were convicted in the 2003 killings of two pinball parlor employees. Executions are carried out in high secrecy in Japan, where prisoners are not informed of their fate until the morning they are hanged. Since 2007, Japan has been disclosing the names of those executed and some details of their crimes, but information is still limited. Justice Minister Yoshihisa Furukawa said at a news conference that the three had committed extremely ghastly crimes and the punishment was appropriate. Still ahead on VOA Asia, the costs of COVID vaccine mandates in schools. happening now in Asia. A Myanmar court has delayed verdicts in the most recent trial of ousted leader Aung San Suu Kyi. She faces penalties of up to 4 years in prison for possessing walkie-talkies and a set of signal jammers. We do not yet know why the judge has delayed the decision. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. So happy you've joined us here on VOA Asia. The Los Angeles Unified School District has fired nearly 500 employees for refusing to comply with the district mandate that they receive COVID-19 vaccine shots. A decision by the second largest school district in the United States came in a vote in early December. Angelina Bagdasarian reports from Los Angeles in this story narrated by Anna Rice.
The move to lay off nearly 500 Los Angeles Unified School District employees came in an anonymous vote by board members, though local representatives say the decision was not an easy one. All of those fired have been on unpaid leave since mid-October, when LAUSD employees were supposed to have received at least their first COVID vaccine dose. Yet despite the mandates and encouragement, they still refused to get vaccinated. School authorities say they would be happy to reinstate all 496 people on one condition, if they do get vaccinated. Sharon McKeeman heads a group defending fired school staffers in court from a number of California school districts. She says many teachers didn't want the vaccine but were afraid to speak out, so she's taking the Los Angeles district to court.
We've sued San Diego Unified as a way to hold that line. And we're actually going to have a hearing on December 20th, which is before the hearing for LA Unified. And we are really confident that we are going to be able to prove that school districts do not have the authority to mandate this new vaccine outside of state authority.
In California, as elsewhere in the U.S., there are people who oppose vaccine mandates, saying they're an example of government overreach.
No, I don't think they should be forced to have vaccines. My husband's a school teacher, he's vaccinated, but I don't think that's his choice.
But other Los Angeles residents believe the school district decision is the right one.
They should all be vaccinated. It's just a civic duty. You're protecting themselves, the kids, everybody else. Like, everybody should be vaccinated. There's no empathy if they're not getting vaccinated. So, like, do you want them teaching your kids? I don't know.
The Los Angeles Unified School District has over 73,000 employees. It says nearly 99% are vaccinated, and more than 85% of students 12 years and older also have received the COVID vaccine. For Angelina Bogdasarian in Los Angeles, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook and say hello online or on your smartphone. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, and read and share all of the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news and great features.
Happening now in Asia. Beijing is contradicting Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam's characterizations that voter turnout was low in the recent legislative election. Instead, a Chinese foreign ministry spokesperson called turnout, quote, normal and reasonable. All the big stories coming your way throughout the day on VOA Asia, Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. North Korea is about to enter its third year of a severe COVID-19 lockdown. The pandemic measures are devastating the country's economy and look increasingly unsustainable. But no one knows when they will end, as VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
Kim Jong-un in December marked 10 years in power. The coronavirus is among his biggest challenges yet. But while Kim has an impressive arsenal to threaten the United States, he has fewer weapons to fight the pandemic. North Korea is one of only two countries yet to begin coronavirus vaccinations. Instead, its only tool is sealing itself off from the outside world. Ki Park is a North Korea healthcare expert who works at the Massachusetts-based Harvard Medical School.
And it works. Let's face it, North Korea is able to seal its borders very, very tightly. and control movement. And so we know these viruses cannot infect others when they can't move.
In the capital, Pyongyang, foreigners have almost completely left amid a border shutdown. North Koreans are subject to severe travel restrictions within the country. Along North Korea's border with China, trade is at a standstill. Lee Sang-yong, with the Daily NK, a Seoul-based publication, says it's taking a big toll on the economy. He says ordinary people now eat only two meals per day instead of three, and the ratio of rice to corn they consume is 3-7 instead of 7-3. Lee adds, it is clear the economic situation is getting worse. North Korea is reportedly trying to open its border to trade with China, its main economic lifeline. But that is tricky, since both countries are embracing a zero-COVID approach. Park Won-gon is a North Korea expert at Seoul's Ewha University.
We are not sure exactly what kind of situation North Korea has faced at this very moment, but it is true that they are seeing very difficulties in the near future, especially I think the first half of the next years. They have either opened their border or they have something to break through of these difficulties.
That could mean finally accepting international vaccines, or the Pfizer pill, which early results indicate is very effective at combating the virus. But in a pandemic likely seen as a threat to his rule, Kim may instead feel the need to simply assert more control. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
Hundreds of protesters marched through the streets of Kabul Tuesday to demand the United States unfreeze Afghanistan's financial assets. The protesters chanted anti-American slogans and gathered in front of the shuttered U.S. embassy in the Afghan capital with banners reading, "Give us our frozen money," and "Let us eat." Separately, dozens of Afghan private business representatives organized a demonstration in Kabul to call for Washington to unlock the foreign reserve. They insisted the punitive measures directed at the Taliban have had a devastating impact on non-political Afghan private sectors and ordinary workers. Organizers distributed copies of an open letter addressed to U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken, in which they wrote that the collapse of the Western-backed Afghan administration left behind $600 million in unpaid bills for the services rendered under government contracts and internationally funded projects. Washington blocked Kabul's access to roughly $9.4 billion, mostly held in the U.S. Federal Reserve. That happened immediately after the Islamist Taliban took control of the war-torn country in mid-August. Making headlines in Asia. Wang Li-hom, an Asian-American who is one of the biggest pop stars in China, has apologized to his family and fans and said he will take a break from performing after a public dispute on social media with his ex-wife, who accused him of infidelity and hiring prostitutes. The scandal was the top trending topic on the Chinese social media site Weibo, with many blaming and criticizing him. Now on VOA Asia. Lake Phoenix Scuba Park and Family Campground is in rural Virginia, where divers go for training and then to keep their skills up. VOA's Tahira Kibria visits this underwater park where divers can interact with various attractions, from deliberately sunken helicopters to cars. She lets them tell their story in their own words.
It's the next best thing to being in space. It's the weightlessness. It's the same feeling, I would suppose, as astronauts feel, you know, when they're up there. But we're down here in this beautiful world, and it is also a weightless, beautiful world.
Just being suspended, like the whole world's moving, but you aren't if you don't want to. And you don't weigh anything, but you weigh everything. The whole thing is kind of there.
It's a perfectly preserved ecosystem here because no fishing, no poaching, nothing. None of that is allowed on the property at all.
Primarily, it's a scuba park for training and then to keep your skills up as a diver. We are a campground as well. So you can bring your RV in, your family, and we have 50-amp, 30-amp hookups for your RV, water, and a dump station on the way out. The helicopter. So we submerged that. That came from the Navy and muchly appreciated. It was fun to sink. But other things we get from from donations, a car here or a bus. We prep it to get it ready for the water so there's no harmful chemicals or oils that are left behind.
But whatever your favorite food is, every time you eat it is a new experience.
Mm-hmm.
We had a new experience today. And when we dive later on in the day, it'll be a new experience. The plane's been there for years. We've dove it there for years.
We're shouldering almost 90 to 100 pounds of gear on us before we get in the water. And once we get in the water, all of that becomes neutral and weightless. But to that point, you have to get from point A to point B.
You got
to
get it.
We have to learn how to react to the environment as the environment changes. All of a sudden, you're diving, and all of a sudden, some haze comes through, algae comes through. It decreases your visibility, which means that our team skills have to get tighter and closer. That means we have to even get closer. We have to learn how to be able to manage problems and manage failures while we're underwater and still keep each other safe and bring each other home.
We have been pretty fortunate. People needed a place to go. This is outside. And go scuba diving. You don't have a minimum distance underneath the water. People dive all year round.
Diving's great everywhere. There is no bad diving, all right? A dirty water hole, if you're under the water, it's a good day of diving. I've messed up some dives, but I've never had a bad day diving.
Scientists at a California company are using biotechnology to create an eco-friendly dye as an alternative to the toxic dyes typically used in the production of denim. VOA's Julie Tabo has more.
Despite its classic look, the blue dye used to manufacture denim can be hard on the environment and potentially toxic to workers, some researchers say. Scientists at a company in Berkeley, California, have come up with what they say is an eco-friendlier dye inspired by Mother Nature. They study enzymes that plants use to produce color and program microbes in their lab to mimic that process. The Japanese indigo plant, for example, makes the blue dye molecule in its leaves. Hugh co-founder Tammy Sue.
So we've taken the genetic information from the plant and used it to inform and program our microbes. And so here we have microbes growing on a plate where they're producing indigo in the same way that the dye plant would make indigo.
The researchers grow the microbes in a liquid culture where they replicate and divide to produce the indigo color.
So here we begin the process of developing out how to best grow our microbes. So it's producing the largest amount of dye.
The fabric is soaked in the dye bath and placed on a fabric patter.
And here's the final dyed fabric. This is one of the first Hue indigo dyed lab coats that we made.
Michelle Zhu is the CEO and co-founder of Hue. She spoke with VOA via Skype.
With the advancements in bioengineering and biotechnology, there really is an opportunity to clean up and change these traditional industries for good.
While Hue started its program with indigo for denim, the company plans to create more color options and expand to other industries.
So whether that be for the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, or the paint on our walls, color is everywhere. And Hue is creating it in a better way, powered by biotechnology.
Hue plans to have its eco-friendly products available to consumers within the next few years. Julie Tabo, VOA News.
Organizers of the annual New Year's Eve Times Square ball drop lit up the 7-foot-tall 2022 numerals Monday. The lit numbers will remain on a plaza in Times Square for a few days before being relocated to the top of the One Times Square building ahead of New Year's Eve. Jeffrey Strauss is the president of Countdown Entertainment.
Those numerals behind me are 7 feet tall. They have 599 LED bulbs. And on December 31st, they'll be atop One Times Square. And as the world counts down those final 60 seconds and the ball goes dark, those numerals will light up above Times Square. There'll be a blizzard of confetti and people celebrating the new year.
The fate of the annual New Year's Eve celebration in Times Square will be decided this week. You have been listening to VOA Asia. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Keith Lane, Chris Cascajo, and Jim Stevenson. I'm Jessica Stone in Washington. Enjoy the day.